There you go.
Thank you. This session is Basic Steps to Maturity, Teaching New Christians. My name is Christina McConnell, and I am glad to be here with you. Thank you for joining us today here in this session, as well as today at the conference altogether. It means a lot to us, the teachers, and I know it means a lot to Miss Sally, and I know that you'll go home with just filled with all kinds of good stuff. So, basic steps to maturity. We all like to see those new little babies, don't we?
Yes.
They smell good.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Brand new babies.
Yes.
And you want to hold them, you want to cuddle them. But in 5 years, you don't still want to be holding them like this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
No. They have those little pouches that they put the babies in, mm-hmm. put them on your back, and they're little tiny babies. You can carry them, or in the front, you can carry them. But 5 years old, you don't want them on your back anymore,
no.
right?
No.
You want them to be able to walk on their own and move around on their own. They're maturing. Right? And as they get older, they're going to mature even more. 20 years old, you definitely don't want to be carrying your baby in a pouch, right?
That's right.
No. You want them to be able to move on their own. Babies need to be fed and nurtured and trained. The same is true for a new babe in Christ. But how do we do that, and where do we begin? You need to evangelize and disciple. So it all starts there. The same as for an adult. It starts the same as for a child. Matthew 28:19 reminds us that we need to evangelize and disciple. Our goal is to present each Christian, including children, mature in Christ. Colossians 1:28-29. Him, Christ, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, we also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me in us mightily. So are we doing that on our own? No, it's by his work that's working in us mightily. And when it says present each person, my Bible says perfect. Some say mature. Some say they use that word, have a different word there, mm-hmm. some versions. But it's mature. Because mm-hmm. we know we're not going to be perfect. You know, that'll be the first one people will say, right. Well, nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. But perfect in Christ. What is that? That's a child of God, right? Mm-hmm. We know that we'll be perfect when we're in glory, but until then, we need to be in Christ. The definition. We have a definition. Follow-up, which is discipling, is providing every opportunity possible to help the person grow in the essential areas of their Christian life to where he can walk on his own and can help someone else get started in that life. If he doesn't know, we don't want them just sharing with others. He's excited. He knows about Jesus, but he isn't clear on all the... are we ever all clear on all the details? But we want him to be sure on what he's going to... wants to share, that he's confident in sharing Christ with others. That's part of that maturity. The aims of discipling is that a child will also know assurance of his salvation. He'll know assurance. And that the child will experience spiritual growth in his life so that he'll trust the Lord for victory and daily become more conformed to the image of Christ. We're working at that ourselves, right?
Yeah. Right.
So oftentimes I've heard parents say, I thought you said you were a child of God. Or you, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were this. Mm-hmm. And criticizing their behavior. Well, they're growing up just the way we are. I know I have days I want to bite somebody's head off, the same way a child wants to snap right. at somebody because he's frustrated and he doesn't know how to communicate or whatever it is. I know how to communicate, and I still want to.
Right.
That part of me that hasn't flicked off yet is mm-hmm. still wants to. Pardon?
The flesh.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's what it is. True.
Yeah. And so where I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of that. Not, you know, fortunately my in Christ days are much better than my
yeah.
flesh days,
yeah.
but I'm not saying they don't come around.
Yeah.
You know what I do? I have a daycare, and my prayer every morning, along with everything else that I pray, is, Lord, help me to be patient and help me be
yes.
kind
yes.
to his
yeah.
children.
Yes.
Because I work with the babies and the toddlers, so
yeah.
that's every morning. I say that every morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah. Our words are powerful.
Yeah.
Our tone is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Even that look on our face
yeah.
is powerful. And so we want to be sure that we're encouraging the children that they would see a change in themselves and also be encouraged. That the child will willingly allow the Lord to use his life for service. And yes, they have their own, they have the Holy Spirit themselves. But you know, some of that stuff they're going to get from their teacher. They love their teacher. They love their teacher first before they love their teacher's Jesus. That's just how it is. Of course, we're always pointing them to Christ.
Right.
But they love their teacher's Bible before they love their own Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a teacher. Because she's human right there.
Mm-hmm.
They can, or he, they can see them. And as, of course, like I said, we're always pointing them to Christ. And as time goes on, they begin to grasp that understanding. And they love God themselves, love Christ themselves. The child, we want to establish a child in a church. We have them in release time, we have them in Good News Club, but we also want to establish them in a church.
Mm-hmm.
That's important for them to get that route well-rounded. Teaching, and as they, whether it's in release time or wherever they're, you have the opportunity to interact with them, as that continues and grows, they're going to want to go to church as well. Maybe their parents don't go to church, but they're going to want to go to church, and maybe even drag their parents along. I'm a product of somebody training my brother. I was raising him, training him at release time, Goodness Club, and I came to Christ through him.
Through your brother,
the ministry of a release time teacher. You know Jane Nishimoto?
No.
She's down teaching at down the hall.
Yeah.
She mm-hmm. was my boy's teacher.
Oh, wow.
It was right here in Long Beach,
mm-hmm.
North Long Beach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And much later, when I was I came across, you know, I ended up at Child Evangelism Fellowship, right? Maybe less than 6 months in Christ. And Jane, you know, a while later, Jane came in, but I remember her name because she had given him
what
a Bible.
World?
Isn't it?
And she had given him a Bible and her name was in it. And I told her my story.
Mm.
And that has been our connection ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Wow, that's amazing.
So I know firsthand that, yeah, a child can.
Oh, yeah.
Bring a non-believing parent
mm-hmm.
to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid was a terror.
Really?
Yeah, when I first got him at 4 years old. Yeah. So by the time, he must have been in the first grade when he began release time. Yeah. And he believed in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he had his little... He took the prayer closet literal and made a portion of his closet into a little prayer closet, and he would open it up.
Wow.
I don't know where he got from a yard sale. He found these hands, the praying hands, and he had those in there, and he had his Bible that she had given him, and you would...
This is your son?
My brother, yeah. I raised him as my son, but he was my half-brother.
Oh, I see.
I raised him from 4 years old.
From four?
To 17.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And he's what, he brought you to the Lord, or his testimony brought you to the Lord?
Just watching him, yeah. It probably took another 5 years.
Yeah, out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah.
The Bible said the little child shall lead them.
Yeah.
That's what it said.
And it wasn't him saying anything to me.
But just watching.
But watching him. And also, he wanted to go to church. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to go to church. And so I needed to take him. Mm-hmm. And so at first, I would drop him off. And then he told me, they said you have to come in and sign
yes,
me in.
Yes, I need it out.
Oh, wow.
And then you have to stay there.
Oh.
Wow. What a testimony. Mm-hmm. So how many years ago, how long have you been in the faith?
I came to Christ at 39, I'm 66.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you do the math.
That's all right.
That part of me has already taken flight.
Numbers and me don't get along.
No.
Wow.
I can tell you beginning and end, but that's about it. Not even end. Who knows when that is. A basic teaching. Teaching to produce spiritual growth. We need a foundation. God's word is our foundation. And the assurance of God's word is that the child is saved. They can see that from the scriptures.
Yeah.
And when we counsel a child after they've received Christ, we show them, we have them read in the scriptures, maybe John 1:12. Mm-hmm. We'll have them read it themselves.
Yeah.
That when Christina believes, Christina can be called a child.
Mm-hmm.
Putting their name in there. A knowledge of how to deal with this with sin, especially in light of 1 John 1:9. Since they're Christians, right? We're talking about the Christians down here. We're not talking about children that we're evangelizing. But we're talking about the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
How do they use that verse? We don't want to just throw it at them. We want to walk them through it that they would know.
If they confess their sins,
right.
He's faithful and just.
Right.
Plants them.
Right.
From righteousness. I think that's the one.
Yeah, that is. And fair. Instead of just, I tell the children he's fair.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to...
Oh, that's a good one.
In the same as righteous. I want to use words that the children understand.
Can understand.
Yeah. So I might use just, that means fair. Of all righteousness. And that means right before God.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows whether you want. Do you want to be right or do you want to be wrong? Right. There's other teachings on consecration and fellowship with other believers and guide witnessing and victory. But first off, we want to teach them the strong foundation of reading God's word and praying, talking to God. When you have a new friend, do you just talk to him? Or do you listen to him too? How do you find out about him? God's word is how we learn about how God is, and who God is, and what he likes. And praying is talking to God,
right.
Just like you would a new friend, but also listening, just like you would a new friend. Listen. And if you're going to have your own words that meet the needs of your children, Not my words, but words that fit into your vocabulary. But keep them simple. I want to encourage you, and I have a handout that helps to remind you to think like children.
Yeah.
We can teach them in a lot of areas in the relationship with Christ, but one of the first ones we want to teach them is the need to reading God's word. Not just at Bible club time. And that's when you teaching them the memory verse, and you give them a little paper with the memory verse on it. They can read that every day.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same as reading from the Bible? Well, for beginners, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a start,
right?
It's not the full word of God. Well, I can have them read a chapter, but that's not going to do them any good if they're not going to understand it. But I've explained that verse the week before. They understand what it means. And let me just have them read that this week and share it with me the next time we meet. Let me tell me what it means. Tell me if they remember it or they can sing it. A child is taught by God's Spirit the same as we are. No different. His relationship with God and the new appreciation for God it begins to be established, begins to get rooted. His attitudes, his conduct, and habits are developed and strengthened as his relationship in Christ grows. In your visual, you'll see that there's a little circle, a little spiral there, and it says at the beginning, appreciation for God, and then Christ-like attitudes, and then conduct or behavior, and habits, and then he has a new appreciation for God, because now he's starting to learn more of him and see him differently. But you see the little boy's face? Does he look like a happy little guy?
No.
He's learning so much. And the spiral starts all over again with better attitudes, conduct. So it keeps going. Don't we keep going, learning more, falling back, and then learning more. How can a child understand his new life? What's the definition of a new life? Each person who receives Christ as Savior receives his life. That's Christ's life. Christ is our new life. He must live his life through us. Christ is living through us. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
And so what are ways that he can live through us? What are ways that Christ can live through us?
Yeah, in our actions and in our behavior. Just like what it says, our attitude. The fruit has to be there. Fruit, our actions have to show that he's alive in us.
And the same is for the child.
Yeah.
So when we begin to lose patience, or for lack of a better phrase, hope for that child that never seems to just get it, can't ever get it right, we want to remember there's things happening behind the scenes that we don't know anything about. Not just in Christ, but also at home or at school. Or in the neighborhood. There's all kinds of things going on with this child that we don't know anything about yet. We find that out by building that relationship with him. And he'll begin to trust us, and there goes that spiral starting all over again. Here's some key scriptures that we can split them up. First, 2 Corinthians 5:17 for one person, Joyce. Can I trouble you with that one? And then John 3:3.
I'll do John 3:3.
Okay, and then finally 1 John 5:11-12.
I'll do 1 John.
Okay, then I will sit down and let you teach me. Whoever has it first, you can go start there.
I'll do John 3:3.
Okay.
Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
Okay. Unless you're born again.
Right.
And how are we born again?
By accepting Christ and his blood cleansing us from our sins.
Okay. Very good. And we have to confess ourselves too, right?
Right.
Okay,
she's ready.
Okay.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come.
Amen. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and new things have come. So just like we don't want to be reminded of what we did in the past. outside of Christ, we don't want to remind the children either. That would oppress them. We know that we don't forget it, it's there, but we don't want to beat a child down. Although we don't, may not be seeing it as beating him down, but continually reminding them. Even for me, it's as simple as, well, remember how you used to do it, and now, don't you like better how you do it now? Okay, well, that could have been said, could that have been said a better way? What's a better way to say that?
A better way to say that he's changed? See how the Lord is helping you? See, the more that you, closer you are with God, the more you're able to follow him and do what's right as opposed to what's wrong. The closer you are with him, and the more you're obedient to him.
God is making changes.
Yeah.
He does that to all of us.
He's changing you.
Yeah, so we want to think about how we interact with the child, our words that we use. We may not mean to say anything that would make them feel less, but they do come out. Especially when in trying to encourage them, we throw that, like I said, remember how you used to do it? When you always were in trouble? Now look at you. You're not in trouble anymore. Different people have different views on that. Some might think that that's okay. What I hear is, what I have felt is still reminding me of how I was or who I was. And we don't forget that. Nobody needs to remind us. But again, how God shares with you and how to interact with the children. That's important, more important than what I'm telling you. God is going to show you. The Holy Spirit is going to show you how to reach those children with his love.
Should I still read 1 John 5?
Absolutely.
1 John 5, 11 and 12 says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
I love that. Yeah. Can we read it again? Since you waited so patiently.
And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Excuse me. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Mm. Keeping the main thing, the main thing.
That's it.
That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm. I don't even need to add anything to that. Not that I need to add to God's word at all. So exactly. Let me clarify that. Yeah. Basic principle. As the child, we teach the child how to understand his new life. And the child must understand that he is what he is before he can understand what to do. Mm. So what does he have to understand? What must child must understand what he is? What is that?
He's a child of God made in his image.
Okay. Well, first he has to understand that he does sin, right? And now that we have Jesus, now what does he need to do? Follow.
Believe and accept. Trust Jesus for his salvation.
Yeah. And we want to use not Christian words, not church words. We want to use regular words with the children. Okay, child must understand what he is before he can understand what to do. He can understand. There's that you can take that into a whole variety of areas, but this one we're talking about is understanding his new life. So his new life is that he is now a child of God. He needs to know what does it mean for salvation. That what does salvation mean? Because one of the things we prefer him not to do is just parodying words, but truly understanding what the words are. And I know I've been guilty of that. As first as a new teacher, but then either maybe as a rush teacher. Oh yeah, what I meant was, that's not what I meant to say, but what I did mean, comparison of physical and spiritual birth. So we're gonna, I'm gonna have a graph up here. Graph. Physical birth, his physical life, and his spiritual versus his spiritual birth, spiritual life or eternal life. So they need to understand the comparison of being born and being born again. You know, can a baby, can a child go back into his mother's womb? It was asked. Grown person go back into their mother's womb? They need to understand the difference in life. Individual personality versus the new creation and the new desires. The old has passed away. Well, they're not that far gone. They might just be right there, but it's a decision-making. Yeah, it's time for them to learn a new decision-making. And he is a new creature, creation. Washed at birth, he's cleansed by the blood, all sins forgiven. He's washed at birth. So on the physical birth, they hold him down, right? They clean him up. And in Christ, we're covered. Cleansed by the blood. And all sins are forgiven. When we ask him if he would take away our sins, and we remember that we believe that he died on the cross. We use the verse about without the shedding of blood, there's no redemption. Shedding to a child could mean what? Shedding clothes, I mean shedding dog hair,
right.
Or the tool shed in the back.
Right.
Could be anything.
Without the shedding of blood, okay, now we've gone into a whole other area. You know, who's the whole idea of the blood, that children are going to take it literal. So we want to be mindful of how we're teaching them. That's a big scripture. I mean, that's a hard one for us to understand. And so keep in mind for them. And so when you, if you're going to use that those verses, please be prepared to explain them in a way that the children will understand. We get clothing as we're when we're born and as we're growing up, and we're covered in God's righteousness. That's our clothing. Again, what's righteousness? You have to explain that word so that the children will understand. Be mindful that you're not just throwing words around. I know you're not throwing words around. That's my lack of saying it correctly. That you're not just giving the child words because the Bible says it, but we're not explaining it.
Exactly.
Or because we've heard it somewhere and it sounded really good, and it was really good, but it doesn't come out the same way because a child has a different vocabulary.
Right. What does eternal mean? What does everlasting mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm 7 years old. Explain that to me.
What will they understand better?
Forever.
Even everlasting. How long does everlasting last?
Forever.
Never ending, yeah.
Forever. I've gotten that look in the face that, like, yeah. But eternal life, no.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten. Yeah, forever. Born into a family. I had one child that just cried. After somebody counseled them, they just cried. Because now they were in God's family. They didn't want to leave their own family.
Aww.
They didn't want to be in God's family. And we could not get. That was like a first or second grader. They were just grown with that. Now, well, now you're in the family of God. What? The child was not happy until we sat him down and made it clearer to them. Clearer to them. Because whenever a child receives Christ, we counsel them. We share, open it up a little bit more to them, asking them, What do you understand what you did today? Yeah. And who is God to you? Mm-hmm. Who is Jesus? What did Jesus do for you? Mm-hmm. I'm asking them a series of questions that way, that they could we can clarify what needs to be clarified, mm-hmm. or correct what needs to be correct. They may be sincere in their heart, be sincere that they want to receive Christ, mm-hmm. but they didn't grasp all, because it's a lot of stuff, right? And so this gives us opportunity to smooth out any rough edges, make sure that they leave understanding. I'm not running back and saying, I'm not in your family anymore. I don't have to do what you say.
Oh.
I'm in God's family. Because I have had a parent come in.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Correct, yeah. They were not in a church in Christ, mm-hmm. but they came and wanted to know, what was I teaching? What do you mean? What are you asking? What specifically?
Yeah.
And then I caught the, and I kind of knew it was the family of God thing. Because I've had, the children kind of, they listen and they're like, yeah, okay, yes, yes, mm-hmm. okay. And then they, all the friends are leaving, so they want to leave. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't click till later. Mm-hmm. We're given a name. What's our name?
Christian.
We are given the name of Christian. We have a home. As we know here, this is not our home. Our home is where? In heaven. We're travelers here, right?
Yeah. I say that so much lately. You see everything, and yeah. it's like, I have to remember that this world is not my home. I get into trouble when I forget that this world is... And I've been saying that almost daily. Now you look around and you hear it on the news, whatever. Yes. Like, I have to remember this world is not my home. What am I thinking? Yeah. I'm just a traveler.
Yeah, otherwise we'll be so worked up about
right.
what's on the news and what people are doing and saying.
It's like, what do I expect? This is not my home. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen here? This isn't...
Yep, you're exactly right. My mother-in-law, wonderful Christian woman, she's 90, mid-90s.
Wow.
And, they're news people.
Oh,
they
I
listen.
Can't do it.
My husband and her are
it.
News people.
Wow,
I get my
good for her.
I get my news from my husband secondhand.
Yeah, me too. I can't stomach it.
What's going on in the world today?
I think you gave me this morning. Is that the same one from this morning?
Well, and if I don't agree with his opinions, then I'll have to watch the news myself.
Exactly.
I just keep that to myself. But it's too much.
It's too much for me.
So when we travel and the... I put her in the front seat with him, and they can talk amongst themselves. It's too much for me. Yep, I do. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff, what they're saying.
I mean,
they have good
opinions.
We
have to know. I have my ways of finding out, but to sit there with it and not.
Just as a newborn depends on a mature adult to feed them and nurture them and train them, a new babe in Christ also depends on an adult, on you to feed and nurture them in the Word of God and train them up. You're his teacher. Be his example. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that in so many ways, all these steps and all these things we know, and yet here you are reminding us again, Lord. Help us to seal them in our hearts and share them with somebody. Because you will send somebody who has need of hearing one thing that was learned today. Lord, we thank you that you are our mighty God and that you are walking us even now through the basic steps to maturity for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh,
that
all
went by quick.
I was like praying already.
Probably had 10 more minutes.
Do we?
No, I don't.
Because I can go on.
Yeah,
I can go on.
I don't know. What time?
The next class, we're not until what? 10 after 2?
Yeah, it's 10 after 2.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's go through this. As I shared, be aware of the child's vocabulary.
Yes.
It says, whenever the Apostle Paul met someone, he took the time to think the way that person was thinking so that he would win that one to the Lord. Do we do that?
Do I do that?
Do we? No, not do always. We? Do we do that? Yeah.
I'm supposed to.
Yeah. No, but we don't always.
No.
We'll pick up a conversation like you were already running it through in our brain. I know I do.
Yeah.
Because my brain is always spinning in many directions. Mm-hmm. And so, and not everyone's in Christ. Mm-hmm. There was a time when, many, many people knew, went to church and knew God as personal Savior. Mm-hmm. But that's not so anymore.
No.
I know my mother's generation did not go to church.
No, really?
I was born in 56. So she was already an adult, but she was she did not go to church.
Oh.
Now my husband's family, he did go to church. He's a little bit older than me, but his family did go to church. So maybe it was socioeconomic difference or whatever the case is. We want to believe that. There was a time that I even believed this, that not being raised in Christ, that I know you know Jesus, you know who God is. Don't act like you don't know who God is. This is before I knew who God was, who Christ was.
People would say that to you, you're saying.
Yeah, or I would say it to
people. What did you think when they, because I was raised, my dad was a pastor. I always wondered about people like you. What do they think? Because that's all I ever heard in my home. That's all.
Which is what? Christ.
Everything was church. And we even, our vacations were church. That's all I ever knew.
Wow.
We went to church three times a week.
Yeah.
Did you marry a pastor?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I said I do not want to marry anyone in ministry.
Yeah,
and
that's what you say too.
I don't want to be a pastor. No one in ministry.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I wanted.
They're mean.
I was always a Christian, but I didn't want to be involved. Because you also, when you're raised like that, you also know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
True, mm-hmm. That's true.
And it was hard.
You mean they're not always living what they're saying?
And all the problems in the church. My parents were careful enough, but we would hear, like they would try to, we had a big old family in a small house. Like it was hard for them. You still heard, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
They tried not to. And just the things people would say about my dad, it was really hurtful. So one time, I'll never forget, I was sitting in the pew, the lady behind me, as my dad was speaking. Yeah, it was really hard.
Did you turn around and tell her, you stop?
Almost.
It. That's my dad.
Almost. I was mean to her later around It was really hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard.
Yeah, my son is a pastor.
Is he?
And I tell you, his first year was terrible.
It's hard.
Oh,
they gave him such a hard time.
Oh, my gosh.
Such a hard time.
Yeah.
But he hung in there.
Good job.
You have to.
He is hanging.
It's almost like he had to prove himself to Christians.
You got to be tough with your congregation.
Right? And these are Christians. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes they're worse. But all growing up, I always wondered what people thought who weren't. I'd stare at the neighbors that didn't go, what are they? They don't go to church ever. I wonder what they think of God.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would be like to not have to sit and hear it all the time.
Until I came to the true message of salvation, I always thought I was going to heaven.
Okay.
And I was not. I knew that Jesus died on the cross.
So how do you know that, though?
And I knew that he came. He died and came back alive.
How did you know that? Who told you that?
He died on the cross. That's why we celebrate Easter. That's why we got new clothes. I came to a saving knowledge. I went to Catholic school from first to third grade.
So
but I didn't really, still, my family did not.
But you were told about
they just
Jesus.
Sent me there. No. I learned a lot of things, but Jesus is not one that I remember.
No.
But I was only in the third grade, so,
You don't know, but they briefly, now I'm speaking for my husband. I'll give this in 3 minutes. So my husband's parents, my father-in-law wanted to be a pastor when he was 15, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law and her parents were in the praise team.
Mm-hmm.
They got pregnant when they were 16 years old,
mm-hmm.
and the church outed them.
Oh.
So they both said, our kids are going to be raised in church.
Yes.
Those church people are hypocritical.
Oh,
So my husband and his two siblings were not raised in church at all whatsoever. But he says, we knew that there was a God because you watch TV and there's movies and so on. So it's not like you never hear about God.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right.
And it's not that you never hear about Jesus, but you also hear about Muhammad and you hear about Buddha. So he knew that his mom grew up in church. He knew that his dad grew up in church. He knew why they weren't raised in church because their parents were angry. So he, not his siblings, he took it upon himself, and I always call him the History Channel Discovery Christian.
Wow.
So that's how he learned about Jesus, by watching the History Channel and Discovery Channel. And so he was like, you know, those Christians don't seem like bad people. And that's how, and then he met me. And,
Interesting.
Yeah, but I was like you. I was always in church.
Yeah.
And you didn't think about it because all these people that you hung around with, they went to church too. And we went to each other's homes, you know, and so you didn't think about it. And so when I went to public school, and I told people, Esther Roll, remember Esther Roll? Esther Roll got saved. Saved from what? She was saved from her sins.
Right.
Or what? And I didn't understand why they didn't understand what I was talking about.
Right.
I remember that distinctively. Why are they acting like they don't understand what I'm talking about? My husband always says, I knew because there's TV, there's movies. I mean, you hear about it. I just didn't know about it.
I didn't know about it.
Just didn't know.
And then I came to know Christ, like
personal,
I said, at 49.
Exactly.
And I learned that Jesus died for my sins.
Yes.
And that he died on the cross for my sin.
Right.
And he came to life for me.
Yeah.
And that I was not going to heaven.
Yeah.
That was an eye-opener.
Yeah.
Because good people go to heaven. You know, if you're a nice, good person, you should go to heaven.
And I wasn't even that nice. Or that good. But, when my boy, his name is Jesus, Jane began to learn about Christ. I saw him across the street. We lived in Mobile Park. And telling the little girl across from us the word in this book. I don't know if you're familiar with
it.
And asking her, did she want to ask Jesus to take away her sin? I thought, what's the sin?
Wow.
I had to come.
Well, I just think God's one.
Yes.
That even you should have said.
And yes, I am married to a pastor, not on purpose.
Look at this.
And yes, I do know about how they treat pastors, because I've been working in the church since I came to Christ. I work at Child Evangelism Fellowship, which we train teachers to do Bible clubs in other schools. But I've seen them struggle through with the Christians browbeating them because they didn't do things the way
they wanted to.
He's been a pastor 40 years, and now he's a chaplain. He's in the military. He's a major in the military.
Okay.
And a chaplain.
And a chaplain.
So we have there's a church.
The next place.
Chapel on base.
Oh, which base?
Los Alamitos.
Los Alamitos. Okay. Miss Nishimura release.
Sorry, we're.
We have church
here.
Oh, we can
But thank you.
No, you have five more minutes. So go ahead.
Thank you.
I'm letting you out early.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Run into work.
Oh, I know. And I got cold sitting in that spot.
Oh, you guys are in this class now?
I'm closing up my book like I'm ready to go.
And you have another class?
I have one more. I have another page.
Yeah, next time I'm bringing a bag. Of course, I brought the smallest person.
I bring a bag that I can put my little purse.
Yeah,
in with all my stuff.
Next year.
You don't got your church bag. Church backpack?
Oh, yeah. It's in the car. Under stuff. You thought the back seat was dirty.
Truck.
The trunk is always worse.
Yeah, because you
hide everything in the trunk.
Okay. Well, you know,
all right. So this is one of my little girls who grew up in the church.
Wonderful.
Now she's raising children in the church.
Okay.
Well, not her own children, she's only 18.
18?
19.
I'm 18.
18.
Okay, yeah.
Not
children.
That's
Jackie.
I know. I know.
Are you teaching right something then?
I am, ma'am.
Okay, I'm in the right place.
Okay, then thank you.
I've been in that room.
Oh, that might be the wrong one. That's the wrong one.
Yeah, that's the wrong one.
I'll get you the right one. You're going to have a seat.
Okay.
Is that a handout?
No.
Oh, no. I put the stick over there.
Yeah, it's a handout, but not the right one.
Oh, okay. Wrong. We don't all have to do the same thing, Yoshi. It might be good for us to
wait 2 days or
something. I know about books. When you go to school, you know about books.
Why are you going back there? I feel like we don't know each other.
No, I'm going back to get my stuff.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were leaving, so I sit in the back corner.
If you didn't
hear
it,
then
I dropped it out of mine because I'm sure they didn't get it.
No,
it
was such a bad.
Yeah, if you didn't get it, that's mine. Because I had it all right here. Look.
Like, we're all in the same church.
I'm sure.
We didn't have the same moments.
I know.
You didn't pick up one of these?
No, I didn't. Is
okay.
This yours?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't. She didn't.